So I'm operating at about 2.5 hours of sleep, and if you hear me snoring, please wake me up.
Well, John, I think we need to start this whole thing off, bring it down a notch, and just be very clear, we denounce white supremacy. The only things that I like supreme are courts and burritos.
And pizza.
Ooh, delicious.
If I didn't know any better, I would have guessed that that was rehearsed.
No, not at all. Isn't that strange?
That was good. That was good. And that kind of offsets our preamble into the show, which was political, but this is not a political podcast.
Yeah.
So we will avoid all politicalness, and we will talk all baseball all the time.
Yes, for you listeners out there, just so you know, we, John and I talked this morning about all the politics, and we completely agree with whatever your opinion is.
Yes,
that is 100%. Exactly what we said, is whatever it is that you think, that is exactly the opinions that we expressed. So,
and we do that because we want to pander to whatever audience we can get.
We definitely are the media now.
We are. We're in control. So I episode 35.
Oh, right.
Foul territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And we're gonna talk baseball. It's, even though it's a little hard to talk about baseball because it's not the headline, but there have been some pretty cool things that have been happening that if you're not paying attention to baseball, you probably should, because it's kind of cool.
Also, it's a nice distraction from certain things which are maybe a little bit not so good distraction, so you can undistract yourself from the distraction.
Yeah, so instead of sitting down in front of cable news for 6 hours, watching the same things regurgitated over and over again, and the same panels scream at each other, you can spend the next hour and whatever minutes listening to the dulcet tones of John Sumple and Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
Well, I'll keep getting that in there just in case people haven't. If you're a first timer, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hey, John, I would like to point out, you know, we have a steadily increasing listener base.
That's good.
Do you remember we used to joke about having one listener? The listener, because there literally was like two listeners.
And what
we're getting up near the three digits, the old triple digits.
That's pretty good.
And
all it's going to take is a little bit of a, we just need to have, you know, one amazing guest on the show, because we have a lot of guests on the show, or someone who listens to it and has a large social media following and says, these guys, you know, even though it's a baseball podcast, they're talking about cool stuff.
Yes, I believe this segment here will not help our cause. So let's move on.
Please.
Three minutes of us speculating about how we could be more successful probably isn't the way to be more successful. So,
no, we're already there. Act like you've been there. Act like you've arrived.
Yes. Touchdown.
Okay, just had another swig of coffee. Stay awake. Okay. So let's jump into headlines. And probably one of the things I was going to say before we got to the headlines part is, you know, something worth watching and following in the world of baseball is Giancarlo Stanton's attack on opposing pitching and the true home run record.
Okay, don't get started with that. Don't get started. There ain't no true home run record. There's the home run record. Sure, Barry Bonds may have had an assistant or two rubbing cream, you know, on him. But you know what? Stanton's got the juiced ball. This is a juiced ball. So then what's real? You know, back in my day, when home runs were hit, I don't know. It's been awesome what Giancarlo Stanton's doing. Like, yeah. I think, honestly, what I think it is I think it's Mike Judge. Wait, Aaron Judge.
Mike Judge.
Mike Judge has nothing to do with it. Though his film Idiocracy, very apropos these days.
Yes.
So Aaron Judge, I think people thinking that Aaron Judge was his replacement, was Stanton's replacement, I think that's a little fire into his belly. He's healthy now. The ball's juiced. He's like, hey, you know what? I can hit home runs too. And he has been hitting so many home runs.
Yeah.
20 home runs in the last 35 games or something like that. It's crazy. Yeah.
6 games in a row, 11 out of 12. They said that if he keeps up the pace that he's hitting at right now, He'll finish with 73 home runs.
He'll finish with 843 home runs in this season.
But I was joking when I mentioned the real record, but that conversation has already started.
Do you think he could get to 73? Like,
I
guess at this pace, if he's hitting one every other day, essentially, the last month or so, he
will probably break 60 or come close to it. But we're talking about Giancarlo Stanton, so it's August, and that's usually when he gets hurt.
Oh, John.
So,
where's your positivity in these dark times? We need your positivity right now. I'm excited to watch him.
No, me too. And I'm excited I have been watching, and it has become kind of like the Giancarlo Stanton watch. Every time he gets up, it's almost like what Barry Bonds was doing back in the early aughts. Yeah, it is.
And, it's kind of cool. For that, you know, what great news for the Marlins, you know, who've been struggling for so long to not be considered just a total joke. The irony, of course, is that the team just sold, right, which we'll get into in a minute. But, like, this is the one – they're trying to get rid of this guy, and because of that contract is crazy. They never should have signed that, like, whatever, 32 years for $800 million a year or whatever it was. And he gets an opt-out at some point. But he has cleared waivers, which means he can be traded. And wouldn't it be amazing if – and, you know – forgive me for saying this, but like the Yankees went out and traded for him, or the Red Sox, which I would love, or the Dodgers, and they just were like, you know what? We want to have this guy. And they just pick up the salary, and you wouldn't need to trade that much to get him because the salary is so crazy.
And then all of those teams have the resources to handle the salary and the prospects. Instead of taking a half a dozen prospects, it would probably take two.
Yeah.
Two, three, maybe. To
and not even that good. You wouldn't even have to give up, like, but what if you're like the Nationals and you're just like, you know what? We're giving you Victor Robles, eat half the contract, and you get Victor Robles.
It's
oh, man,
possible.
That would be so exciting. I'm just saying, it would just be exciting and whatever. He'd probably have, you know, go 0 for 14 in the playoffs and then everyone would hate everyone. But I'm just saying, it's so exciting to see. I wish this guy was on a playoff roster is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I read yesterday that four teams are talking to the Marlins.
Man.
Despite the contract, four teams.
Yeah. I mean, so it's, we'll I'm saying it would it could be a difference maker.
I'm a Marlins fan, and I understand you know, that this is a team that needs to rebuild its minor league system, and it's going to require breaking up the band. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Yelich and Ozuna and Stanton all go. They just need to restock, and that's the only way that they're going to be competitive in the long term is by building a solid foundation. They do not have that.
No,
they were probably a playoff contender with Jose Fernandez.
With Fernandez? I don't know, man.
They would have been fighting for a wild card.
They made some bad free agent acquisitions.
They have, like, the last 4 years, they've made bad free agent acquisitions.
And a lot of that's just bad luck, right? Like, it's not like they signed bad players. It's just that they signed players that then became bad or got injured. Like,
It's,
you know, they didn't go out and get any of the big names. They went and got sort of like the other guys.
they're like, we're going to sign the 15 home run, 65 RBI guy and see what happens. Or the pitcher that had glory 5 years ago and see if he could, you know, rejuvenate his career in South Florida.
Yeah. We're going to sign the pitcher who had kind of an okay season last year and maybe it'll translate
catch lightning
well.
In a bottle for $5 million. Why not?
Yeah. Bad choices.
Yeah, bad choices.
Also, the Jose Fernandez thing sucks.
Yeah, it still does.
Cocaine is bad, kids. Cocaine is bad.
Yeah.
Cocaine and speedboats. It's like an episode of Miami Vice. It's crazy.
Yeah, gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, horribly wrong. Yeah, like the movie.
Yeah.
Like the movie version of it.
That was a little too intense, wasn't it? And it was all done in like blue tone, the entire movie.
Yeah, Michael Mann's pretty great sometimes, but other times he just kind of misses.
So let's move on to Bryce Harper and what was the most incredible injury flop, flip, launch that I've ever seen. in the history.
Well, especially
of sport.
Considering that he didn't actually tear anything.
Yeah.
That, so let me break this down for those people who don't know, right? And also for you and for everyone else that isn't me who doesn't know this. All right. So Saturday night, Washington Nationals. Who cares? Why am I caring about this game? Well, because he happens to be on my fantasy baseball team in my big money league. Okay. So he's on my team and I'm like, oh, this rain. Bryce Harper, Washington Nationals, for those of you who are listening for the pop culture stuff and not the baseball. Anyway, great player. People hate him because he's kind of a jerk sometimes. People love him because he's an exceptional ball player. So the game is delayed. Friday night's game was already rained out. And here I am thinking, man, I really hope they get this game in because I need these statistics to accumulate on my fantasy baseball team.
You jinxed it.
No, John, I've been flogging myself, and not in the good way, ever since. Sorry. So then he hits a little grounder to wherever and tries to beat it out and almost does. But then as he gets there, he lands his foot on top of the base, which, by the way bases are designed is dubious and is something that needs to be looked at. It's like plastic, basically.
Right.
And I'm not sure why it's still that way. It feels like it should be some other material. Those of us who have played baseball know it's like a weird, hard material. I guess it has to be for some reason. But anyway, it feels like this is something they could fix. And so he hits the top of it and it slides just that. Whatever, 2 inches, right? That when you lose your footing for 2 inches, and then he pole vaults his own self with his leg, which is not good for your knee, and hyperextends the knee. It looked like it was like a.
It looked bad.
It looked awful. It looked like a Jason Kendall. You remember Jason Kendall?
Yes.
When he hit first base that one time, and his ankle just spun around in circles. Mm. It looked like that kind of injury. But anyway, apparently. No torn ligaments and just a deep bone bruise.
And the bone bruise was caused just by the two bones banging into each other.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Which sounds just, very sexual.
If you're into that kind of genre.
Hey, some people are. Tummy sticks, you know what I'm talking about?
Hey, we welcome all walks to this
Heck
show.
Heck yeah, we do. Because we need celebrate
to,
it.
Yeah, we want as many listeners as we can get. So that was tough to watch, and there was this pall over the entire, you know, the broadcast team, and even the general manager, Rizzo, was really concerned after the game. And then, lo and behold, the next day, the sun rises, and it's not bad. You know, a couple weeks. And
He said he Harper said he was able to actually walk upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not something you could do if your ligaments were torn.
No. So that ultimately a good thing. And the Nationals without him in the lineup are not much more than a 500 team. So they really rely on.
Oh, no, that's a little bit better than a 500 team. Rendon has really come around now. And Murphy.
Yeah, but they were. I think their record is something like 30-26 without him. So.
Well, wait a minute. By baseball standards, that's not a 500 team. That's like a 525 team.
Right.
All right.
But we're close to a 500 team.
That is, you're right, John. Though technically, aren't we all? Aren't we all close to 500?
We are 50-50.
Anyway, the big news is
even bigger.
About that is the trade deadline's already passed in the league that I'm in, and I had to pick someone up in free agency, and I think I got myself some adequate replacements. It'll tide me over, and then when Harper comes back, I can just slot him back in. But I'm a little dubious then, because what if he comes back and they're like, we're going to take it easy on him?
Right.
I'm a little nervous about that, John, as I'm sure most listeners are.
How big, when you say this is your big money league, what are we talking about for first place?
First place is $1,000.
Oh, that's a big money league.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could understand that concern.
Yes.
And flogging.
Yes.
Makes sense.
It was a rough weekend for me, John.
I take it you won that league last year?
No, it's the first time I'm playing with these guys.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds sexual.
I'm currently in second place, but only because of a statistical anomaly. No one cares. I'll be in first place in a couple weeks.
And a speedy recovery to Bryce Harper so he can help you secure the championship.
so I can get some dollar bills.
Okay, moving on. Rafael Devers hit a massive home run.
Yeah, you mean the 20-year-old?
The young punk.
Young punk, the guy that, oh, no, maybe we shouldn't bring him up. Maybe we should trade for Todd Frazier. Red Sox, Rafael Devers calls him up. 6 home runs already.
20 years old.
20 years old. Already a multi-homer game. This guy's killing it. Comes so in against Aroldis Chapman, who throws a 103 miles per hour. That's MPH for those of you who like abbreviations.
And it was a cookie for Devers, right?
And he blasted it. He blasted it. It's the fastest pitch ever hit for a home run.
And he will, you know, so in his mindset, he's like, if I can hit 103, everything else is going to look like a beach ball.
Right.
So that's got to be a big boost to a youngin's confidence.
I mean, and also here's the thing. Devers is left-handed. Left-handers don't hit Aroldis Chapman home runs.
True.
They haven't hit one since 2011.
Making a name for himself.
103 miles per hour. Do you even know how many kilometers per hour that is? It's so many.
And it's a big difference when you compare someone like him to the other players this season who have hit the DL just by playing the field. Well, one of them, the Yankee prospect that got hurt.
Bird?
In his first game. Didn't even get an at-bat.
Oh, yeah, Fowler, Dustin Fowler. Fowler. Yeah. Oh.
And then who was the guy with the Braves this week who tore up his knee running out onto the field, hopping over the first baseline?
I didn't catch his name, but I saw the video clip of it. It was so sad.
Just brutal.
Got to the foul line and blew out his knee.
Yeah. It's
all sympathies from the foul territory team, but jeez, that's hilarious.
It's like, can you walk and chew gum at the same time? Yeah,
Well, I mean, that's the thing. These young prospects now are coming up and they're making a difference. It's exciting. I mean, the Red Sox have Benintendi and Devers. The Dodgers have Cody Bellinger. Like, they're key parts of very successful teams. It's exciting. I mean, the Indians have Zimmer, right?
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at like this movement in baseball to very similar to what you've seen historically in basketball and football, is that when you draft somebody, they're you know, it's never going to be draft them and they're going to play in baseball, but you're seeing younger and younger players, you know, where 26 was kind of like the norm to see somebody come up 15, 20 years ago. Now it's, you know, early 20s.
Yeah.
And you got kids coming out of high school who are making a difference. They're in the minor league seasons for 3 years and they come up and they're in, you know, 21, 22 years old and they're having an impact. Bellinger just amazes me because he does not look like a home run hitter.
Right. Yeah, he looks like that sweet doubles hitter.
Yeah. He's got like a John Olerud who was the first baseman for the Dodgers?
Loney?
No. Going back. The white guy.
Hodges? Did I go back too far? Garvey?
No. I'm drawing a blank.
Karros?
No, this is never mind. We talked about him a couple weeks ago.
Did we? Fred McGriff?
No.
The white crime guy?
The white guy?
I know, but whatever.
Doesn't matter.
I don't see color, John.
It doesn't matter.
You know what's interesting, though, is we're talking about calling up all these players. The Rockies called up one of their top-hitting prospects, Ryan McMahon, basically to be a pinch hitter, which just goes to show you how dumb the Rockies are.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
It's so weird. Like, hey, you're doing great in the minor leagues. Why don't you come up and just pinch hit every now and then? Which, like, totally screws up his development.
Yeah, we'll slow you down a little bit.
Yeah, things are going great. Let's change it up.
Let's get you out of your rhythm.
For almost no value to the team, but definitely potential detriment to you. This is a great idea. Signed, the people who acquired Ian Desmond in the offseason to play first base.
And he's back.
Now that Lurie is out, the Rockies are the next in line for worst franchise.
Could be.
I'm excited. Good for the Rockies. The owners of that place is just, those are crazy balls owners. Openly, like, antagonizing their fans. Like, I love it. But what's great is we're getting rid of these guys, right? Lurie is going to be out at the Marlins, and then we'll get these guys, and then we'll get them out. And it'll all just be owners that, like, love the game and aren't there to try to make a buck. and won't hire jerk-offs to be run teams. And look, I don't care if the Rockies never win, but isn't it, like, don't the people of Colorado, even though they have their drugs that they at easily attainable
legal drugs,
don't you think they deserve to have a winner on the field?
Yeah, sure.
Why not? I'm not a Rockies enthusiast at all, but whatever. I just like, I hate seeing stupid baseball, even if it's in teams I don't like.
I agree. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Sorry about the diatribe, the tangential diatribe about the Colorado Rockies. What were we talking about next?
I think we get Astros picking up Tyler Clippard, the oft-traveled Tyler Clippard, third team of the year.
Yeah, so
from the Yankees to the White Sox to the Astros.
And then wasn't last year he was on a couple teams,
wasn't he? He was traded last year as well.
Yeah, so, okay, so he starts off the season really good, then just blows out, and then becomes a part of the big White Sox trade for whatever, David Robertson, and I keep wanting to say David Robinson, but he retired years ago, the Admiral.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
For the San Antonio Spurs. Anyway, and Tyler Conley or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, he's been traded midseason for the third year in a row.
Okay, yeah. So, and then so Clippard goes to the White Sox, and then he kind of pitched okay. Like, it wasn't great. I don't know why the Astros, like, I don't know what the Astros are doing, but I don't think Clippard is, like, the solution. Maybe they just needed, like, one more arm because of injuries or something or underperformance. I think their bullpen's a little bit beat up right now, right? I think Will Harris is injured.
He did pitch an inning, so yes. He's off to a good start.
Good. He's solid, I mean, but he's a reliever, you know? He's not, like, a great reliever. He's just a reliever, so.
Now, he had some good seasons back in his Nationals days.
Yeah.
But
good-ish.
Nothing recently.
Nothing dominant. Sure. It's just weird, no. Like, the Astros are going out and doing this. What are you doing?
This is a player who's played for the A's, Mets, D-backs, Yankees, White Sox, and now Astros since 2015. Well,
that is a lot of teams in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. Makes me think there's not a lot of gas
left in the
tank.
This guy's like the Taylor Swift of baseball players. Slow it down.
Slow it down, dude. Someone's going to grope your ass.
Right?
Right.
Do we have that in the extra innings?
We do.
Oh, okay, good. Because that's a fun story.
If that's your thing.
No, it's a fun story.
It is.
It's definitely my thing.
Okay.
A little teaser there. Coming up later in the show, Taylor Swift gets her ass grabbed, fights it in court.
Wins. Okay, let's see. We got some more. In addition to the Clippard trade, we've got Neil Walker being traded to the Brewers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a smart move for the Brewers. Neil Walker will hit really well in that park, and they just need a little bit. You know, Jonathan Villar. Remember Jonathan Villar? Villar? VR?
He was all world a year ago.
Right, last year was like, oh my God, 70 steals and power from both sides of the plate. This guy's incredible.
Crickets this year.
Oh man, it's brutal. It's brutal. I had him in one of my other keeper league. I have people. I don't have that many leagues, people. It's really just like it's four leagues, okay? But I had him in one of the leagues. It's a keeper league where we keep players from year to year, and it was for a really low price. But as soon as we got into this season, I was just like, I got to get rid of this guy. And then sure enough, some guy came along and was like, hey, I really want to get Jonathan VR. And I was able to milk it for like some quality players in return. And I would have given him away. Like just for get him off
space
my roster.
Space on your roster, yeah.
Yeah. Like just so I didn't have to pay his salary anymore. It was pretty great moment in fantasy baseball for Jed Rigney.
I think I read that on the news.
People care, John. And by people, I mean the voices in my head.
There's a lot going on there, huh?
There is a lot going on there.
So that
they're all carrying tiki torches.
So does that is Neil Walker, in your opinion, a significant upgrade or just a...
No, it's just a nice upgrade. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit before where they've done sort of statistical analysis.
I think it's analysis.
If you have a big offense, that it actually is better for you to add to that offense than to add pitching. Mm-hmm. And pitching's hard to get right now. Just look at the Astros.
Right. Going after Tyler Clippard.
Suckling from the teat of the the Tyler Clippard teat. I don't know what that means. Honestly, I'm tired. I'm going to use your excuse. I'm tired. I'm not that tired. But anyway, what are we talking about?
But we were talking about Neil Walker.
I think it's a nice addition to the team. Yeah. He's a solid hitter. He's got power. He played third base and second base for them.
And he's out of New York, so that's a boost.
Yeah, that's good for him.
Yeah.
I always like when these guys leave the teams, though, and they always say such nice things about it. It's such a cool thing that players do, you know, thanking the fans. They don't need to do that. It's just kind of cool when it's just like, hey, I really appreciated my time. Sometimes they'll take out ads in the local paper right. and stuff. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice to see that. People are decent sometimes.
Speaking of decent people, Jeffrey Loria selling the Marlins.
This is an indecent proposal.
The biggest head scratcher in all of this to me is, so he buys the Marlins back in 2002 for $157 million.
Right.
The team is valued by Forbes magazine earlier this year to be around $650 to $750 million.
Right.
And he sells the team for $1.2 million or a billion.
Right.
How do you get double what the value of the team is? Especially since the Marlins do not have a TV contract that everybody else has. They get $20 million a year, I think, for their TV rights. And it's not scheduled for renegotiation until 2020. It's unbelievable. There's no value there.
You know, like, people just want to own baseball teams, you know. Normally, you have to be dubious of someone that's going to be that sort of cavalier about it, especially to get a franchise that just doesn't have a lot of assets as a team. Like, it doesn't have a great TV deal, and it doesn't have
naming rights, you know, for the ballpark, and doesn't right. have the TV contract.
Yeah. You know, it's like, well, they have their, you know, their revenue sharing stream that they get. And
so Jeter wanted it in bad, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, you know, the people putting money into these things know that, look, yeah, it's worth $700 million now or whatever, but really in 10 years, it's going to be worth a billion.
Right. Yeah. Look what Loria was able to do.
Yeah.
So Loria's, you know, laughing all the way to the bank and all the vile that's coming his way, and rightfully so, from fans of the Marlins and fans of baseball in general and non-fans as well.
Right.
He's just like, I don't really care. I sold a team for $1.2 billion.
He cares, though. It's Jeffrey Loria. That's the good thing. You know, John, he's going to have all that money. He already had money.
Right.
But he cares. Guys right. like that care.
Yeah.
And I say the fans of the Marlins, keep sticking it to him forever.
They will. It's going to be forever. A while because, you know, people won't blame Jeter 2 years from now if they still suck. They'll be right. like, Loria saddled them.
Exactly.
He saddled them with a shitty lineup and a,
right.
a depleted farm system and ridiculous contracts. Yeah.
I mean, in a way, they can't trade Stanton, right? Like, you can't.
They had their biggest payroll this year in history at $115 million.
Oh, 115? Oh, you got to get rid of Stanton if you can, I guess, right?
But eight players represent $95 million of that going into next season.
Oh,
that's a problem.
They got to do the Astros thing and trade everything off.
I would be all for that. I really would at this point.
What about keeping, who's the center fielder?
Yelich?
Not Yelich, the other guy.
Ozuna?
What about keeping him?
Well, he probably has a better chance of sticking around now that Loria is on his way out, because Loria didn't like him.
Oh, okay.
He tried to trade him twice. I think cooler heads prevailed in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, he's only increased his value in the market. So I guess the problem is trading hitters, you don't really get that much back these days, because I think teams have figured out how to develop hitters a little bit better than they have pitchers. I think pitchers are where it's at, but I still think the Marlins could trade off some of that pitching, especially if some of it could recover from its injuries.
Yeah, their pitching is their demise right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting offseason.
You know what
sure.
they should not do, by the way, is trade away people like Luis Castillo, who just shut out the Cubs for six innings and seven strikeouts and two hits and two walks. Don't trade away players like that.
That would be a good
not
first step.
Dan Straley. Jesus. Come on, guys.
Yeah, not very smart.
Should I say Jesus?
And they should have traded Straley when there was value at the trade deadline.
Right, exactly.
Because he's tanked since then.
Right? As soon as he had gone on like a three-game streak of like no runs allowed, you trade him exactly right. in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's so stupid.
And they had a half a dozen teams calling on him. It's like they didn't pull a trigger on anything.
And then they were like, no, we're going to wait till we get a better deal. And it's like, okay, then he gave up six runs. Right. Then he gave up 5 runs. Oh, okay. And the people are like, hey, you know what? I think I'll just call up a minor leaguer. Thanks for the offer.
Yeah, and we'll find out next week that he's got arm issues.
Meanwhile, Luis Castillo, 3.3 ERA so far, like completely controllable asset, has faced maybe the toughest way to start your career. These guys started at Colorado, 2 games against the Nationals, at the Diamondbacks. Like, these are the best teams in the league.
He's holding his own.
The best offenses in the league, and he's held his own. He went up against the Cubs and shut them out.
Pretty impressive.
Given away.
So it'll be interesting to see what Jeter does. You know, even though
I'm excited. I don't like Jeter as a Red Sox fan, but as a person, I don't like Jeter the Yankee, but I love Jeter the personality. Mm-hmm. What he's going to bring to that area. I'm very excited for, whatever. Baseball expanding is what I love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for him.
It's good. I'm excited, too, as a longtime Marlins fan.
And you're like a fan, too. So yeah, like, this is great for you.
It's big news, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that was coming out of the Miami media was one of the first things Jeter wants to do is take out that home run monstrosity out in center field.
Oh.
And some people are saying, no, don't do that. That would be a PR nightmare. Leave it alone. It's like, get rid of that thing.
It would be a PR nightmare.
It's like, come on.
As if the team hasn't been a PR nightmare.
Yeah, there's other nightmares to deal with. That would be an eyesore worth pulling. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Okay, this when I saw the pictures for this, I threw up a little in my mouth.
Oh.
The new uniforms and the nicknames for Players Weekend.
Okay, so this coming weekend is Players Weekend. Apparently what they did was have some mentally challenged graphic designers come up with new uniforms, or maybe they just had players design the uniforms, which is a great idea, because if there's one thing that I want baseball players to do, and athletes in general, is designing clothing, graphics, that sort of thing. This is really their strong suit, and I'm glad that the league let them do this. Anyway, so these uniforms are terrible. So there's special uniforms for Players Weekend, and they just look ridiculous. I do kind of like the nickname thing, though.
For most players, because it's kind of sad because some players don't have a nickname on the back of their
jersey.
And
some are choosing not to. Some are abstaining, as they say.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're
abstaining to change.
Or because they don't really have a cool nickname, right?
Yeah. Right.
But like the best one I saw is Kyle Seager is going to have on the back of his Corey's brother.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
No, like the Mariners have like Big Maple for James Paxton and Boomstick.
Yes. Yep.
For Nelson Cruz. Like, come on. This is great. This is fun.
The jerseys
are so ugly that it kind of offsets the whole thing. And why not just use the nicknames? The nicknames were a good idea, I think.
And it's the first time the Yankees will have names on the back of their jerseys.
Yeah, first time.
But the color schemes are horrific.
Ooh. See, that's Mariners, the ugliness.
The Mariners are the worst. It's like someone was colorblind and picked those colors. It's just bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Folks, if you're listening and you haven't seen these, just look up Players Weekend uniforms and you will understand.
Also, folks, if you're looking to get like some interior decorating done and maybe some color palettes chosen, do not consult Major League Baseball players.
No. It's a throw up of pastels bright colors and it's a
mistake.
It's going to look like a over 50, well, maybe not over 50 softball league, but it has a little bit of a softball-ish league feel to it.
You know what, John? I'll have you know that every time I was in a softball league, our jerseys were of the highest design quality. We fashioned ours after old-time baseball uniforms.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, no, it was very cool.
So it had like the printed buttons or something on it? How did you pull the...
No, so they were...
Like a letter, old-style letter?
You know, we would do like... So we have the name across the chest and everyone had a nickname on their back, right? Mm-hmm. We were the precedent setters. Our team was called the Bowl Weevils and everyone gave themselves nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
So like we all gave ourselves hillbilly nicknames. No offense to hillbillies.
We want them as listeners.
Yeah, exactly. No hate.
We're in the no hate zone.
Yes.
We love all listeners, regardless of what you listen to.
Yeah. Even if you listen to tripe like this.
Yes, we embrace you. What else is there?
Who cares what he's doing?
Let's see where we're going.
They're gross.
Okay, Aaron Judge signed a contract deal for autographs with, I don't even know, is this Fanatics? They just monitor? I don't know anything about him.
This is one of those deals where, like, so now he probably won't be signing autographs at games or will limit the number of autographs he signs. And so if you want, like, an autographed Aaron Judge or Mike Judge photo, maybe, too. They have them. I don't know. Aaron Judge photo, you got to go to Fanatics. We'll sell it to you for, like, $300. Mm. So, it's one of these things. Like, it's an endorsement deal type thing where, like, they'll be the exclusive handler of his signed materials.
Does that mean he goes on the hot stove circuit and goes to signings and stuff like that?
I don't know exactly what it means, John. I have heard stories of guys saying that they can't sign, or there's a limited number of signings that they can do for kids. But then also, some of the collecting right. sharks hire kids to go get autographs.
Right. Hey, kid, I'll give you a ball if you go and get this guy's autograph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little shady. But, hey, it's America. We can do whatever we want here.
Right.
No rules.
We're on the same wavelength.
But yeah, good for him. I mean, it bothers me that he's a Yankee, but it's good for the sport. I had someone say the other day that after the home run derby, he became the face of baseball. And I was like, well, not necessarily the face, not with that mug, but it's definitely a face for radio.
Yeah, he needs a little bit more time. He burst onto the scene, and he's got to put a couple of years under his belt with consistency.
But it's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
But he's in a pretty long slump right now.
Extended, definitely.
Yeah. I think, we talked about this, that, like, he couldn't maintain that pace because no one's ever done it before in record setting. And he does have holes in his strike zone, and, it takes a while. It took a lot longer for the pitchers to figure it out. But then he'll make adjustments, and he'll be a very good player for a long time, I think.
His slump has allowed Justin Smoke to come within striking distance. That's something I never thought I'd ever say, of passing him for the home run title for the season.
Yes, that Justin Smoke. Smoke that has disappointed so many fan bases throughout baseball. So many fantasy baseball owners.
Yeah, and so that, to me, when I look at, some of the numbers that he's, players like him are putting up, that's, you scratch your head and say, juice ball?
Juice ball.
Yeah, doesn't seem possible. It's just like Brady Anderson hitting 50 home runs or...
that was steroids.
Boone, Brett Boone hitting 50 home runs. It's like, what?
Brett Boone, right?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
These little guys hitting big home runs. Like I said, the last thing on our headlines list for this week is Disney to acquire a majority stake in BAMTech. And I don't know what BAMTech is.
That's Baseball Advanced Media Technology.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a big number.
What's the number again?
$1.6
billion. $1.6 billion.
More than the Marlins.
How does that split up per team? Okay, so Baseball Advanced Media is owned by Major League Baseball, which, of course, is owned by 30 Major League Baseball owners. So what is that, $30 million? $50 million a team, right?
Yeah.
$50 million a team. You know what bothers me about this? The players have absolutely no stake in that. The minor leaguers have absolutely no stake in that. But who are represented in the Baseball Advanced Media Technology? The major leaguers and the minor leaguers. Mm-hmm. And they get nothing. I'm telling you, baseball players make a lot of money. And I used to be like, well, they make so much money. But the owners make so much money. Mm-hmm. And so the baseball players should as well. And especially the old timers, that's another thing they need to fix. All those guys should be retroactively millionaires, in my opinion. Like, why not? Why not just say, like, look, there's, 5,000 of you, like, maybe not $1 million each, because that would be, $5 billion? So maybe that's too much. But, like, hey, let's just give everybody $50,000. Like, that would make such a big difference to some of these old-timers. Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other thing for another time. It's a big deal because, first of all, good for Major League Baseball for developing that technology, but bad for the players' union for not making sure they got a piece of the technology developed by the blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure they could have gotten themselves a token piece that of the percentage of that money if they had just negotiated better. But again, I think we've talked about this a little bit. I think the baseball players union has weakened. It used to be the strongest players union. It used to be considered one of the strongest unions in the United States.
And they were threatening strikes constantly.
Constantly. And now it's like, and I'm not saying they should threaten strikes because I think that's ridiculous. But they do seem to have, with the increase in salaries, gotten a little more complacent, a little more lazy about. But again, you know, average salaries, whatever, $6 million a year, $5 million a year, I guess it's hard to complain.
Yeah, when you're the minimum salary is, what, $560,000, I think?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It is hard to complain. But again, the owners are all making a fortune, even the ones who claim they aren't.
Oh, definitely.
$50 million each, John. How excited would you be right now if you were just like, someone just called you up and said, hey, by the way, that thing that you have paid no attention to for the last 10 years, and you probably don't even know what it is if I explained it to you, I'm giving you $50 million for it.
Oh, thank you very much.
You would appreciate it, right? That would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So maybe the players will benefit down the road with a stronger players union.
I want the minor leaguers to get more money. That's what I want.
That's nice.
I'm not like a union guy. I'm not like proletariat, seize the means of production, whatever. But baseball players bring a lot of happiness to a lot of people, and they should be compensated for it and shouldn't be treated like indentured servants. Anyway, next subject.
let's move on to seventh inning stretch, which is new.
Oh, what a perfect time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're blending something old with something new.
How's that?
With the seventh inning stretch.
Yes. Oh, because I didn't tell you this. Down. We didn't talk about this. That's right. No. Yeah. So we were talking last week about the best baseball movies. Okay, so seventh inning stretch is where we talk about pop culture stuff. We take a little break from baseball, talk a little pop culture. So last week we were talking about the best baseball movies, which we both completely agreed Moneyball was the best movie. And okay, maybe only I agreed with myself about that, but still.
It's in the top 5 to 7 for me.
And so, but then we started talking about, well, also the worst baseball movies. We kind of like randomly threw some out. And then we're like, oh, we could do that. We could do like, oh, Mr. Baseball or Mr. 3000. Any baseball movie with the word Mr. in it, you just guaranteed it's going to be a terrible baseball movie. And then it occurred to me, well, wait a minute. Why don't we take that old segment that we used to do, the three up, three down, which, of course, represents an inning of baseball. Three batters up, three down. That's the end of an inning, right?
It's making sense. Seventh inning, three up, three down.
Right. So nice. Here we go with three up, the three best, and the three down of a particular kind of book, movie. Oh, we're not going to do books. But anyway, movies, television shows, and maybe music. And this week, because we talked about him last week, Stephen King movies. Mm. What was his movie that came out last week? The
Dark Tower?
Dark Tower, right. Yeah. Now, we won't include Dark Tower on the three down, though it has been very panned, as they say. It's been panned. So but, you know, I think it takes a few years for a movie to be out for people to really see its value, whether it's good or bad. I mean, you look at a lot of the Academy Award winners that have, and then you're like, really, that was the best film that year? I don't even remember that movie existing. Or like, oh, yeah, I guess that was okay, I guess. I didn't want my money back.
The critics loved it.
Right. But if you give it a few years, it lets it, you get to, you know, see it again. And you lose the context of all the hype involved, right? Mm-hmm. Like, would The Artist win best film ever now? No. I mean, not even for that year. Like, it would never win that award because it was so hyped at the time. People were just like, yes, yes, this is what filmmaking should be. And then, you know, like a year later, did you even remember that The Artist existed? Like, when was the last time you thought about the existence of that movie?
When I watched it, I was underwhelmed. Technically, it was interesting and storytelling was interesting, but it still was like, really? This is the best? It's the best we got? I didn't buy that one.
It's the hype, man. It's hype. It's just like anytime it's popularity contest, right? So then, but it's like, you're not going to be like, well, this was the best made film.
Right.
It's going to be all the subjective things. But I think you give it a little time and a little distance, you're able to give it some perspective. And so I don't know why I just said all that stuff.
It was a nice preamble.
Oh, because of the Dark Tower, which might be his worst film. except it can't be because the movie Dreamcatcher exists.
Which I've never seen.
This is a terrible film that is kind of all over the place. It's got Morgan Freeman as sort of a renegade general, and it's got sort of an alien invasion body snatcher thing going, and four friends who are kind of psychic. It leaves a lot to be desired. Not a very good film.
You've seen all of these?
I have seen all of these.
Okay. I've only seen two of them.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll have to trust
me. One of them, how is it possible that you have not seen Shawshank Redemption?
Wait, you haven't seen Shawshank Redemption?
I have not seen it, no.
All right, well.
It's in my queue. It's been in my queue for, I think, 6 years, 7 years.
You know what's funny about that film, though, is when it came out, people liked it, whatever, but then it came.
Strong following, yeah.
Yeah, and it got a strong following, but then there's like the backlash following.
Oh.
Like, well, it wasn't that great. So then there was that sort of thing. Like, oh, that doesn't really that good. Like, it's a great film.
I'll have to watch it. And
that's a great
film. Does it stand the test of time?
It stands the test of time. Okay. Though I will say it does suffer a little bit from that thing of, like, it's become so tied into the culture
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to consider it just as a film by itself. You know, there's the Morgan Freeman narration, and those things are so culturally present, right? So you can't really just watch it mm-hmm. in a vacuum. This happened to me the other day. I tried watching Forrest Gump, because that's another film where it's like, people loved it, then people were like, actually, it's kind of terrible, and then, well, no, it's okay, maybe it's okay. It's been doing one of these things. But it's just so hard to watch that film because there's so many things in it that are culturally
right,
part of your life, yeah. which works for comedies. Like the Austin Powers stuff, if people are quoting lines, but people right. quoting lines from a drama still like do. Forrest Gump, like, oh, life is like a box of chocolates. Like, but then when you hear that line, it's like, oh, right, I remember my friend Steve used to do that. And then remember right. Gary used to do like, life is like a box of chocolates. You look at the inside of the cover and it tells you all the different flavors that are there.
I didn't like that.
You got riffs
either.
On riffs.
I was one of those people.
And it messes up the, I actually really enjoyed it the first time I saw it. Though I will say that part of when I saw it was someone who passed away soon after. So there was sort of a, and that was sort of a known thing while I was watching it. So not that he would, his passing was imminent when I watched it. Though maybe not as imminent as like the next day, like maybe we shouldn't be out at a movie theater.
You didn't call.
Maybe we shouldn't be at a movie theater and we should be at a hospital.
All right.
Anyway, so I'm going to put.
Yeah, it's just
I'm
going to
put Shawshank at number two. You know what? We're not even going to rank these. I'm just going to put them top three, bottom three. You know what? And then, of course, for me, my favorite, it's number one, but is The Shining. Stephen King film. Mm-hmm. He hated it, which probably says more about him than it does about Stanley Kubrick, but it's an absolutely brilliant film in so many ways. It's spectacular filmmaking and spectacular storytelling, iconic visuals and acting, and it's perfect Kubrick.
I saw that movie when it came out when I was in high school twice in the same night. It was so good. I stayed for the second showing. I just thought it was
I saw it's such a great film. I saw Eyes Wide Shut that way, but I saw a press screening mm-hmm. of it, and I was talking to one of the PR people, and they were like, I was talking about just like, I was like, wow, that was such an intense film. I wish I could watch it again. And she goes, well, why don't you just go in and watch the next screening with the rest of the press? Just like there was so much to take. And I was like, sure, it was free also, you know? So, but yeah, it's one of those films. And you know, what's interesting is, I saw Shawshank Redemption twice in the theater. The first time I saw it, I very much enjoyed it. And the second time I saw it, I took this girl and I was thinking, if this girl thinks that I like this movie, because we were like friend zone, right? And I was like, maybe if she thinks I like that maybe she'll be so moved by this movie that she'll move us out of the friend zone so that we can, like, this movie. I thought this movie could be the movie that got me out of the friend zone.
I'm taking it didn't.
Spoiler alert, no.
No. Did was there any other movie that moved her out of the friend zone?
No, I think that was the last time we went out. No, I'm just kidding. We hung out a few more times, and that was it. we stay in touch or whatever. But it was always friends. I think I met my some girl I wound up living with for a few years shortly after that. So you know, then friend zone girls get moved. Then you can't hang out with friend zone girls because then like. Well, because there's that thing, and you were kind of hoping it would be a thing, and then it wasn't, and then...
Then you see her making out with
other
guy.
No, it's not so much about...
And you're like,
It's more about respect for your current girlfriend, because it's like, this is my girlfriend, and then like, I don't want to go hang out with this girl that I was hoping would be my girlfriend, and that's sort of disrespectful.
It's like, yeah, you're wasting
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Unless there's going to be a threesome.
No disrespect. no disrespect.
And then our last of our three up is Stand By Me. Which I think is
a brilliant film.
Stephen King's favorite Stephen King film, or one of his favorites.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's an exceptional film that is based on just a short story. I think Shawshank is also based on a short story. So there's that too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is Green Mile, which could have made the top three, but just missed because of the existence of Stand By Me. Great film, great performances. Holds up. I watched it, I don't want to say recently, but in the last few years, and you know, still a really good film. That's a Rob Reiner film, I think.
Yeah.
Guy did some good work before he went nuts about all this politics stuff.
Yeah, that's all he's doing, his book and talk shows.
And so then we have a couple more in the bottom three. We have The Lawnmower Man.
Who was in that?
That was Jeff Fahey and Pierce Brosnan.
It is
exactly as bad as all of that sounds. I think it's about he's like a mentally impaired graphic designer who designs some baseball uniforms for Major League Baseball, but also does lawn mowing.
Now that's a script worth writing.
Yeah, and then they wind up doing like some experiments on him or mental computer integration stuff, and he becomes. You know,
so it's not a yard working film.
No, no.
Okay,
it's not the prequel to The Constant Gardener,
which was a good movie.
Sure. And then the last in the bottom three is the Carrie remake, because A, Carrie didn't need to be remade, and B, because it was remade poorly.
And that just came out within the last two or three years, right? It seems.
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
There's a lot of these movies, they don't need to do remakes. The Ghostbusters is a great example. You know what would have been interesting is if they did Carrie, but they'd made him a guy. Made Carrie a guy.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Like, switch it up.
Or a black woman.
Or a black woman, sure. That's so weird when they do that, right? Like, they did that with Can't Buy Me Love, and then it's like, love don't cost a thing.
Right.
I guess you
could. Right. And now, then all the talk about potentially the James Bond character being a woman or a African American.
Well, breaking news, Daniel Craig's doing number 25.
He is.
Yeah. He announced it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Sad for him.
Breaking news. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll postpone the squawking about who the next Bond be.
Yeah. But also a little sad for him because, what that means is he wasn't able to get anything else going.
So this, what's that movie that's coming out this weekend with him? A comedy?
Is there?
Yeah, it's drawing a blank.
All right, well, let's move on. We'll figure it out later.
We'll talk about it next week's seventh inning stretch.
Sure.
Maybe not. Okay, are you buying it?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk this week about the AL wildcard teams, which is pretty much everybody.
Yeah, now here's the thing. The National League wildcard teams... Right now, it looks like it's pretty set. I'm hoping in the next week that the Cardinals and the Brewers close the gap between the Diamondbacks and the Rockies.
I think it's going to happen because the Diamondbacks and Rockies just apparently don't want to. They've been playing 500 ball since even under 500 since the All-Star break.
It's almost as if, John, they're not as good as they looked like I kept saying.
Right.
Okay, good.
So that race may become...
I hope it does.
A little bit more heated as the weeks go on.
I hope it does.
I hope it does, too. And I hope the Marlins do something amazing.
Yeah, like trade away some of their players to get assets back. Right. Right.
Yeah, it's the pitching. No pitching. We're not going to do it. So let's go. Yankees.
All right. Yankees, I'm buying it. I think they have a three-game lead in the wild card, but also they have a good enough team to stay afloat. They mm-hmm. have not been that impressive, but of all the wild card teams, I think they have the best team for these last, whatever, it's 6 weeks left, right? Something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, they had that great run. They were 20 games over 500 yeah. back in end of May.
Yeah. I mean, they have it in them.
Came crashing down. Yeah.
And I think I don't think that they're the 20 games over 500 team, but I also don't think they're the crashing down team. The two trades they made for Sonny Gray and for Jaime or Jaime Garcia, whichever way he prefers, those were smart. Those were what you mm-hmm. and I were talking about. They need starting pitching. Right. They got starting pitching. Now, Tanaka just hit the DL, disabled list. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be, if they're going to have enough. They have enough offense. Chapman's having some issues in the bullpen. He may need to go on the DL. But I think of all these teams, this is the strongest of the teams.
Strongest team yeah. of, by far.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no comparison compared to the other teams.
Yeah.
Now, and although the Angels yeah. have looked pretty amazing in the last week and a half, they basically unseated. The Mariners moved into the playoffs, the second wild card, and then went on a six-game losing streak.
Right. Yeah, the Mariners looked like they made some smart moves at the trade deadline, and then you can't lose six games in a row.
No.
You can't do it. And the Rays did the similar thing. They lost five games in a row. They both won yesterday, so they moved a little closer. But I thought the Mariners had made the right moves. I think of the Angels, Royals, Twins, Orioles, Rays, and Mariners. So crazy.
It's a crapshoot.
All really these teams within two games of that wild card spot. Mm-hmm. I
it
do
makes
think
for
the Mariners
baseball,
are the
that's
strongest
sure.
team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they're pitching. They have just been losing Paxton, even though he's going to be gone, only out probably for 2 weeks, maybe three, as a huge blow.
Yeah.
Huge blow for them. And when you look at their – I mean, I can't even – other than Gallardo, I don't know who their other starters
Gallardo.
Are. He's their ace right now.
Right, it's
now.
Like Erasmo Ramirez and right. Marco Gonzalez.
Yeah, it's a crazy – their patchwork right now, but they needed to go out during the trade deadline and get another arm, and they didn't.
Well, they didn't
have
the pieces to get a quality yeah. arm. That's the problem. Though
yeah,
maybe
they're
someone
a
like a Jaime Garcia
well.
Was the way to go.
Yeah,
but
we'll see. So yeah, the Royals had a spike, and then they fell back to earth. The yeah. Angels are looking good offensively, but their pitching is just not built for a long run.
Right.
By
though they are getting Andrew Heaney back. Yep, and Tyler Skaggs is back, and he looks good. But I will say about the Angels is right now they're at the peak of their winning streak, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very dangerous in baseball. Not dangerous, like anyone's going to get hurt. But it's you got to be a little careful to judge a team by how they're doing at the peak of their winning streaks. Because mm-hmm. teams that have winning streaks can also have losing streaks, just ask the Yankees. This Angels team could be three games out in 5 days.
Right. And it seems to be because every single one of the teams, well, the Orioles haven't been, but the Angels, Royals, Twins, Rays, and Mariners have all been in the second wild card position within the last month.
Right. Yeah.
Which
so
kind of crazy.
It's a fun ride. I mean, it's a garbage fire. It's a mediocre trash can fire of baseball.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if there's going to be any amazing run, the Yankees back in 77, or 78.
Or the Blue Bonnets back in 1932.
But also the Rockies when they won, 19 out of 20 games to
Oh, you mean when they got rid of Jim Tracy? Got rid of Clint Hurdle and brought Jim Tracy in, and they were like, "Hey!" Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. There's a team out there that's going to have things are going to fall into place. They're going to have yeah. a run, and we'll see. Is it going to be one of these five teams, or is it going to be in the National League? Are the Cardinals going to rise? I was shocked to see the Cardinals do what they did, to kind of move back into
yeah.
the hunt. Yeah, the NL, not only the wild card, but the NL. East and or Central in itself it's up for grabs.
Yeah, they're all jockeying there. I think the Cardinals were yeah. tied for first.
Yeah, they were.
As recent mm-hmm. as day before yesterday. So in terms of am I buying it, I'm definitely buying the Yankees, and I'm considering buying the Mariners, and I'll rent the Angels, and I'm considering a short-term lease on the Royals, and the Twins, Orioles, and Rays, I'm out. I'm officially out on the Rays. They can't score. I don't know what happened to them, but if you got to score runs to win games. That's just math.
Yeah, well, they picked up Lucas Duda, so.
But they haven't scored any runs with Lucas Duda.
So they're not Logan scoring Morrison, runs. You know, when Logan Morrison stops hitting home runs, you know there's something wrong.
When Logan Morrison is your primary run scorer.
Right, you know.
You have a problem as a team. Yeah. And that's the race. They have good pitching, though.
They do. And defense. Their defense is good.
Yeah.
Is Kiermaier going to be back
this season? I don't know.
You know, yeah, he definitely made a difference in the outfield. Although yeah. He blew two balls in 1 week and just
hey,
totally botched.
Haven't we all, John? who amongst us hasn't blown two balls in 1 week?
Jameson Taillon.
Lance Armstrong, Jameson Taillon. And wait, didn't Chad Bettis, is that his name? Didn't he just come back from the old
did he really?
Nut cancer? I think he did.
Not sure.
Anyway.
So let's move into the final segment.
Yes.
Extra innings. So we'll leave baseball behind and talk about things going on in the pop culture world.
Yes.
And other sports. So the first thing is the Ezekiel Elliott suspension for something that happened, 3 years ago in college?
Yeah, and it's that weird arbitrary thing that the NFL does where it's like, well, here's the rule, but we're going to break the rule because we feel it's in the name of the integrity of the league
right.
thing that Goodell decided to invoke against the bounty
gate. His case was dropped,
BS.
Right?
Yeah, the case was dropped. And look, a lot of the times these things get dropped for nefarious reasons, insufficient evidence. And apparently there was some evidence of some wrongdoing, but let's just be consistent. It's a 4-game suspension. Give him the 4 games. Don't give him 6.
Yeah, it seemed a little severe. I'm not trying to downplay domestic violence, but that just seemed out of nowhere, 6 games. That just is a strange number. Is that written down somewhere that if you're
it's 4
accused? Yeah.
That's so the union agreed number. That's the problem is that they're going, well, they're saying, well, there were extenuating circumstances. I read a great article by a female lawyer, by the way, basically explaining that the problem with these suspensions is if you make them longer, then the victims will be less likely to report them because the victims suffer because of the loss of income.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a wife or a girlfriend of the.
Yeah, that's true.
So if the person loses a year's salary, $8 million, maybe they'll just say, well, I'll just keep my mouth shut and then we'll keep our $8 million. So it's not really a deterrent to domestic violence to just take away their money.
That's interesting.
Because it's not like if someone who's committing domestic violence is like, oh, I want to beat her up so bad, but I don't want to lose my $3 million, so I will not beat her up.
Right. I don't think their finances come into play when right. there's emotional.
Exactly. Crimes of passion, man. And again, it's not okay, right? It's not okay.
Right.
We disavow.
Yeah, Ray Rice is still paying for it, even though he and his wife are together.
Yeah.
And they're now going out and talking about their story together.
Yeah, that was a whole weird thing. That was a really good football player. And then basically he became blacklisted because he...
Yeah.
Because of that thing, and I'm not saying that obviously it was terrible what he did, but to take away all of his livelihood and make her suffer,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Especially since they both came, together, and I think she admitted but was partially culpable for accelerating or escalating the situation. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just a.
But also, let's make
touchy.
This an advertisement against getting insanely blackout drunk.
Right, that's a good thing too.
Let's do that with this instead of just saying domestic violence is bad. Because again, it's like we know that. But what about the insane? They were completely blacked out drunk.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Another thing to avoid is mixing 5 different types of drugs and then getting into a car at 3 in the morning and driving around.
right? This cocktail of stuff he had, it was like very impressive. Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Like, people think he's one of the greatest golfers of all time, and he is. He's one of the greatest. Not the greatest. He sort of missed that. Maybe due to having five different drugs in his system.
It could be.
But it was Dilaudid, THC. I forget the other ones, but, man, it was a hell of a cocktail.
It was quite self-administered, too.
Self-administered. But, you know, it's one of those things where he's got a prescription from one doctor who says he can have this, and then he's got a prescription from another doctor who says he can have this, and he's like, oh, I'll just mix these up. Hey, what's the worst that could happen?
I wonder which one was the one, the catalyst that said, hey, get in your car at 2:30 in the morning and start driving around. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But he's going to do some sort of program, and it'll have it, you know, remove the DUI removed from his record in a year.
Oh, good.
So, you know, good. It's good to be the
Wait,
kid.
What's that called? A mulligan, right?
Right.
Golf terms.
Yeah, that's good. Well played. So Cristiano Ronaldo banned for 5 matches after shoving an official.
Yeah, after he got red carded for being a jerk, and then...
I'm shocked that this is even on the list.
Yeah, I just like it because mainly I don't really care about this because they were talking about it. Maybe it was going to be 12 games, whatever. But I wanted to put it because I wanted to talk to you about this amazing video clip that I saw the other day of two soccer players getting into like a heated argument with each other. And then they both sort of bumped into each other's chests. And then each of them
flew backwards.
What's that?
They both flew backwards?
No, they both flew backwards, but they both each grabbed each other. They grabbed their own foreheads. It was like synchronized
flopping.
Flopping. It was so incredible. You have to look up this video. These two guys are like, they're jawing at each other, and then they come, just the slightest contact, and then they both grab their foreheads or faces and then fall backwards. It was hilarious. Soccer's the best. What's next?
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
Had some friends in town a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Who are huge soccer
fans.
Oh,
my God.
And the women's national team was playing in Seattle. I paid money to go to a soccer game.
Oh, my God.
And I
You know what, John? You can make up for it now if you denounce it.
I denounce it.
In the strongest terms.
But I was told that, you know, going into it, don't expect anything magical because this is, after all, women's soccer.
Wow, that's super sexist.
It was a little bit. just a Though, tad.
You know what? We'll say it was more about the soccer than the fact that it was women.
The soccer was poorly played, and the management of the assets was horribly played.
Oh, good.
The team manager, whatever they're called in soccer, didn't play the best players until the last 10 minutes of the game, and the U.S. team wound up losing to Australia.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I got all choked up over women's soccer.
Wow, I can understand. I just thought you were vomiting in your mouth.
Just a little. Okay, so let's move on to the big tease from earlier in the show with still choked up. This is really getting to me.
Well, I'll talk, John, while you sort through your emotions. All right, so the lawyers closed the arguments for Taylor Swift's trial, and she won her groping trial. So she accused someone of groping her. Then she got sued by that person. Then she countersued, I think is how it
for
was.
For $1.
And then she sued and won for $1. But I got to say, I'm not a fan of her music at all because it's just not my kind of thing. Bless her heart. But... her performance on the stand was awesome. Her the way she dealt with the cross-examination about her or the examination, whatever it was, about what happened was, this is like strong, this was like Ripley in Alien. This was, it was so cool to see. Not that, like, I think like, oh, women are weak or anything like that, but it was just so cool to see someone who was just like, no, this guy was inappropriate. Here's how he was inappropriate. And then all these like lawyery things were being thrown at her. And she was just like, no, because this guy was being a total pig, but not succumbing to using emotion and just like, here are the facts. oh, sorry, you want to talk about emotion? We're going back to the facts. And it was awesome.
Wasn't there one comment made about, and she had a classic comeback about the, there was a photo with the guy in it that was behind her, and the lawyers made some comment about, well, you couldn't tell. And she was like, well, that's because my ass is behind me.
Right. Yeah, no, it was like full of these lines. Like, she's like, the guy's like, well, you know, no one could see. She goes, that's because there wasn't a camera underneath my skirt.
Right. I haven't seen any of the trial footage, but I'm sure it's entertaining.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Good for her. Men are pigs, by the way.
Yeah, she needed that dollar. But she'll say, and that she's doing this as a hopefully to. She said, "I have the money. Fortunately, I have the money to take this to fruition, to help other people down the road avoid something like this happening to them."
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these. I mean, a lot of people in the radio business are kind of disgusting. These are the payola guys. I mean, not that it's the same thing, but like these guys have a certain degree of power that they try to exercise. And this is one way that male DJs have tried to exercise their, you know, it's awesome for her to fight back.
And unless,
like that,
unless Taylor Swift has a rib below her waistline, I'm going to go with Taylor Swift on this one.
I'm all in on the Taylor Swift support. I'm even going to not refuse to listen to a song. I don't know. No, I'm not going to listen to anybody.
You're going to go and listen to her last album.
No, I was going to say, I started off saying like, you know what? I'll even listen to it. And I was like, no, I won't do that. No, I won't refuse to listen to. No, I'm still not going to do that. But good for her.
So just go give yourself a listen to We Are Never, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together and Everything Will Be Good in the World.
Or don't do that, but just feel good that a young
hum
woman.
It. Just who... hum it. Last but not least, Willie Nelson taken to the hospital up in Salt Lake City. And what was his reason for, did he give some sort of statement about
that?
Well,
yeah, he was in Salt Lake City. He says, the altitude got to me. And this is the first time ever Willie Nelson has complained about being too high.
Poor Willie.
Bless his heart.
That pretty much ends.
That's the end of our stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it went by so fast, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't at all. Very tedious. Go back and edit out half of it. Who cares?
Okay. We'll pare it down to about 25, 30 minutes.
There you go. All right, John. Good chat. Bye-bye.